Let's Pod This. My name is Andy Moore. Friends, welcome back to another episode of our illustrious show. I apologize for last week. The computers are trying to kill us. That's the truth.
It was AI, man.
If only.
The ghost in the machine.
That's right. which is probably, that's probably good fodder for our conversation today.
Yeah.
So, of course, my co-host here, Emily Stacey. Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for being here.
Good to see you. I must warn you, I have been rotting in my house most of the week, so I'm like a puppy dog today, so I'm really excited to see you.
It's like a golden retriever that just got let out of its crate. Yeah.
A little bit. It'll wear off. So you know me. It'll peak and then like 30 minutes.
I had a cortado before we recorded today, and so now we're just off to the races.
We love those.
We're not going to talk about legislative session today.
We're not.
We are going to say that for next week.
Yes, because Sean Ashley's going to come back and regale us with all of the things that we know, but then all of the like stuff we don't know behind the scenes.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
It'll be good.
Right.
I like that Sean speaks a little more freely with us than he does on KGOU, which is an excellent program.
Yeah.
But I think at this, I don't know, we'll ask him next week, but I feel like at this stage in his career, Sean has seen it all.
And then some.
And then some.
Yeah.
And yet... the legislative session still offers some surprises.
Continues to surprise, yeah. Agree.
Which I'm sure we'll talk about next week.
I'll be interested to see what his hot takes are for the last couple of weeks of session. Because this is one that, again, we've talked about. Even our insider friends who've been there for years and years and years have said that this last couple of weeks have been unprecedented.
Yeah. Well, and yesterday on KOSU, listeners, I'll plug that show too. I hope you remember.
You should. Plug.
Next, there's another podcast that's much shorter that you can listen to me on, but KOSU has a weekly show called This Week in Oklahoma Politics, and they have two kind of analysts on, me representing, I guess, the center to left side, and then someone else. And it was Neva Hill for like 20-something years, and she ended her tenure there, and so they've been interviewing, trying some people out. So this week it was Jennifer Moniz on again.
Nice.
She's been on several times.
I like Jennifer Moniz.
Yeah, she's
great.
Been a friend. We've even worked together on anti-gerrymandering stuff previous.
Yeah.
But she currently works for Speaker Hilbert, so she's a bit of an insider.
Indeed.
But certainly offers a different perspective on things. Last week it was Mark McBride, former A&B chair.
I also enjoy him.
Yeah, he's a hoot.
Yeah, he really is.
Very different.
Just a good dude. He cracks me up.
And since he's not in the legislature, he's much more loose-tongued. Yes. Or not like in a gossipy way,
like
free-speaking.
Yes.
And it's interesting hearing him as an insider.
I really do.
His perspectives on some of the horse race politics.
Right. Does he have any hot takes on the superintendent's race? Because I really wanted him to run, man. He was one I was really holding out for.
Well, a lot of people rumored he was going to.
I would have absolutely voted for Mark.
I don't know if he has any hot takes. I've seen on Facebook that he's been kind of posting his endorsements this week.
Okay.
But Mark's a good guy. Is a little bit of like grandpa on Facebook vibes, which he's a grandfather.
He's
on Facebook. That's how it works.
Yeah. Shake your fist, sir.
Who among us doesn't? But anyway, this week, Jennifer was talking, or we were talking about the legislative session and like how it was. We had to, Michael Cross, the host, ask us to grade it like on a letter grade.
Yeah.
I said a C, maybe a C plus. Jennifer said, well, it's really two sessions. Before the budget and after the budget.
That's fair.
Before the budget, she gave it an A. After the budget, she gave it a C. And I was like, you know what? I think that is probably an accurate grading.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting into it. We should save this for next week.
Very interesting. Yeah. Let's parse it with Sean.
We should. We'll ask him his letter grade.
Yeah.
Steal the question. Well, this week then, we're going to talk about... let's get into the horse race.
All right.
We have been somewhat disciplined, and we have a little bit of... we both have a little bit of a dramatic streak.
I was going to say, discipline is not really a D word that describes me normally, but sure, I'm going to take this today.
But we, delightful is the other one, but.
Sure. I'll take that too.
Sure.
I can think of a few more.
But the ads are flying fast and furious. I saw one the other day that was from one candidate attacking two candidates.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, they're really trying to. They're spending tons of money, but sometimes
birds
you gotta.
Stones.
Yeah, that's right. Birds with stones is exactly right. And so I think it's been a little bit wild. There's also been some recent polling.
Yeah.
That and some debates.
Yes.
So
it's been delicious.
I think for this, like, let's just stick to kind of a rundown of the statewide.
Yeah.
Because there's too many legislative races. And
it's so exciting.
It is exciting.
I'm such a nerd, right? This is the Super Bowl of politics. We love election season. And Oklahoma got gifted this just manna from heaven, thanks President Trump, with the Mullen, glow up to DHS.
Yeah.
And that just sort of shifted a lot of things for us downstream, particularly the statewide races.
Yeah.
And so this is, God, I love this.
It is. And, it makes me excited. Because all of the statewides are up,
yeah.
Right? The only incumbent that's running is Todd Russ as the treasurer.
Yeah.
But
right.
But it's
everybody else is trying to blow up at this point.
It is, and that race might be one of the most contentious races. And obviously this is the primary, so we're talking about closed primaries.
Right.
But
general, it's fine. Right, everybody's cool there. But the primary,
it'll be a different.
This is very interesting.
It is. It'll be a very different conversation come November. But I think I just want to say up front, and I'll say this again at the end, listeners, as a reminder, every voter, regardless of your party affiliation or unaffiliation, non-affiliation,
there you go.
Independent status,
there you are.
There is something on every ballot this year for you.
Yep.
So in the month of June, there's the minimum wage state question
that
every voter gets to vote on.
Mm-hmm.
In August, there will be two other state questions. Mm-hmm. And in November, there'll be two other state questions. Yeah. And you can definitely vote on all the candidate races.
Well, yes,
then.
Please do.
So
please do all of those things.
November obviously is a big one, but but showing up on these state questions on August 25th, that's my wife's birthday.
Aww.
She's like, why is it got to be on my day? But these are elections where turnout is often 10%, 15%.
Yeah.
And so very consequential. Low. So for all of my fellow independents out there, don't forget that you can and should vote.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. PSA.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
We love it.
The more you know.
Okay.
The well,
star.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, come on, Andy.
do they still have those commercials?
Not as many as you would think, but yeah, every now and again.
Listeners, if you have seen a commercial for The More You Know recently, please send us an email.
Yes, please.
And tell us what it was about at, you can send it to podcast@letsfixthis.org. Thank you.
Make us feel unold.
What if I, right. That's, I think the word is young that you're going for.
Sure.
But that doesn't happen.
Not geriatric.
Right. Maybe we should, start using fake announcer voices on the show.
Ooh.
And just really ham it up a little
bit. Oh, I love that.
All right, welcome to Let's Pod This.
Oh my God.
Like we could,
how do I do? I don't even, I feel like my voice is already a caricature.
What if we could just show up next week to Sean and not tell him. And
okay. And then. I'm so down for this. Listeners, stay tuned for whatever shenanigans are going to occur next week.
Up next on the show, Sean Ashley. that would be, maybe, if people would go along with us, that would be a lot of fun.
Right? Maybe I adopt a very low monotone, slow ASMR type of podcast voice.
Oh, that's great. That that would be, it's like on SNL with a delicious dish.
Yes, yeah.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Let's Pod This. We're very excited to be on the show today.
I don't know how long I can maintain that, though. It's way too
sedate for
me.
It's making me a little bit nervous.
And sleepy. I don't know. It's very not me, anybody who knows me.
We can...
So yes, Sean will be gagged by that.
How... Did you... Now, okay, we're going to indulge me in a further sidebar.
Please.
Way off, and then we'll come back to the horse race stuff. Do you... we were about the same age, or mid-40s-ish.
I am 41. Okay. Thank you very much, mid-40s.
Not a day over 29.
I'm just saying.
Low, barely 40.
Mid to low 80s. How about that? Like in the 1980s. There you are.
Yeah. Right. Okay, that's fair. Better. Yes. Born in the early to mid-80s.
Yes.
So growing up then in the 90s, did you... I have these visceral memories of like laying in bed at night with my Walkman. Uh-huh. And my headphones, and like listening to the radio, and after 9 o'clock, they would play the edgier music. Yeah. I was into like grunge and stuff.
Yeah, Bush and
yes.
Girl, oh, yes. Man, been, honey, we're speaking the same language, yes.
Did I text you about that podcast about Bush this week?
No.
Okay, we'll come back to that. But the episode of 60 Songs that explained the 90s, ooh, this week is about Bush, and it's really good.
Oh, my God.
I think about, this is probably why I like podcasts, is I, this hasn't mm-hmm. aged well, but I remember in 94, 95, 96, mm-hmm. laying in bed and listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla yes! and Dr. Drew.
Yes!
Who...
Yes.
That guy went a weird direction in his career.
Yeah, that one more.
But it was like you knew that a lot of this was like fluffy and like sure. these were made up and like yeah. this was, but it was a little bit scandalous.
Yeah, it was fascinating.
And so the idea of
voyeuristic almost.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yes. And I think this is because my son is 14. Mm-hmm. He's going into ninth grade. So he's at that same age yeah. now. And I'm trying to be a good dad and like be empathetic. To yeah. his plight as a teenager and how whatever I think he's worried about, it's not, it's,
oh, it's, yeah.
His world is chaotic right now on the inside. Yeah. I can feel it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh man, what was I doing at that age? And then you have these flash memories mm-hmm. and you're like, this is wild. And now
it was a simpler time, sir, with right. our Walkman. And...
It was. Well, and because mm-hmm. I assume that our listeners are. Like yeah. us, that we're driving around hastily, dropping kids off.
Oh, absolutely.
And like trying to consume these podcasts while
at 2.5 speed.
Yes, like trying to stay up to date. Yeah. And so listeners, if that's you right now, just know that we see you.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I think. And then. Absolutely. But it also occurs to me that maybe there are listeners out there who unwind. This sounds ridiculous even saying it out loud. But they're like, whew, they've like. Done their day, yeah. their kids are in bed, yeah. they're doing dishes with their like AirPods mm-hmm. in, and they're just, and we are those and we're voices.
It.
Isn't that?
I apologize, both... listener. Like, we love you, but also.
Humbling and terrifying.
Oh my God, I love it.
Okay, well, and if that's you, let us know that as well at podcast@letsfix.org. We'd love to hear the stories of where you listen to this.
Yes, please. And any voice suggestions. Andy and I want right. to freak out guests over right. the election season. Why not?
That's right. We don't have, we can't take call-in requests for songs, right. but we could cultivate some accents.
Absolutely.
But nothing.
Yes. Nothing. Culturally insensitive.
Even, I did an Italian accent the other night because we were having spaghetti. And then I looked at my wife and I was like, is that racist? And she said, if I say yes, will you never do it again?
You're appropriating culture, Andy.
I was like, I was picturing Mario Brothers.
Right. You're so cute.
Doesn't make any sense.
I'm sure it was horrible.
Anyway, I apologize to anyone that offended right now.
That's super.
The spaghetti was delicious. Okay, let's get into the horse race.
I love it. Let's do it.
We're going to talk about the ads and just... Are we just going to dish? Is this what we know?
Yeah, I mean,
we, why not? To be clear, this is a nonpartisan podcast. We are not endorsing or opposing any candidate.
At all.
I can't even vote in these races, for that matter.
Oh, yeah, right.
On either side, but indeed. Nonetheless, do you want to go top to bottom or do you want to go bottom up?
Bottom up, right?
Okay, so we're going to start
end on
with,
a bang.
Let's start with treasurer then, which is probably the bottom of most people's lists.
Is no. it insurance commissioner?
Oh,
insurance. We always forget insurance commissioner.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's definitely the bottom.
Cause I mean, it's because nobody, yeah.
No, but it's really important.
It is. It is really important. So for folks running, non-doc, I think I mentioned, although it got garbled last week, so you don't know that I've already mentioned it. Non-doc is hosting an insurance commissioner debate on Monday, June 8th at 5:45. And this one will be at Tower Theater on Northwest 23rd Street. So you got four folks running. Because as you mentioned, or maybe we didn't mention it, but the current insurance commish is not running. Mulready.
Right. I was going to say, is it Glenn Mulready?
Yes, Glenn Mulready. So he's not running. So you got to have an open race, which an open primary in a crazy primary season already is, you know, pretty delish.
Yeah.
So again, the folks... are going to face the one Democratic candidate, Craig McIntyre, in the general election. This dude is a former educator, most notably, and has been in the insurance industry for a while. But your Republican candidates, again, it's pretty wide open. I think Marty Quinn maybe has a little bit of an edge, but he's got a name.
Right, former legislator exactly. as well.
So former legislator, he's a small business owner. He represented Senate District 2 for some years, 12 years, in fact, so he termed out. So again, I think he's probably got the edge there, just, you know, slightly. Chris Meredith, and I don't know if we've got polling on this, but I'd be interested.
I'm trying to pull up the poll. On Pat McFerrin's website on CHS Strategies. And Pat, if you listen, let me help you with your website, man. Like, your menus aren't working. So anyway, I can't find it. I know we've got polling on auditor or treasurer's race, minimum wage, and school superintendent. So.
Okay. So yeah, I think Quinn probably. Meredith has spent a long time, about 25 years in the industry, insurance industry, working as a policy analyst. So he's deep down in the wonky weeds of things. Mm-hmm. So I think at the debate, he'll probably impress some folks.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see. He serves on a wide variety of different boards within the industry, within the state and across the nation. Greta Shuler has worked as an insurance agent and is on the Shawnee City Council. She's the only female running, so I need to note that, and is running sort of a grassroots, sort of independent campaign. I think I saw some spending report. I swear to God, I saw this somewhere, maybe yesterday, and they're spending and pulling in money in this race is kind of interesting.
Because there actually is some?
Yeah, right, because it's competitive, exactly. You know, some hundreds of thousands of dollars have been spent already.
Well, insurance interest is a big deal. So Oklahoma is a top three in homeowners insurance rates, top three highest.
Yes.
And so...
Which is wild.
It's wild, and there's a lot of attention being paid to this. Excuse me, about homeowners insurance in particular. There's the big State Farm case that's happening.
Yeah.
So there's some like... This is normally kind of a sleepy race.
Very.
That people don't ever know who the insurance commissioner is.
Like, I don't know that there's ever been an insurance commissioner debate. Like, I don't recall. I'm sure there has, but like also.
Did we do one in 2018 with non-doc? We did a bunch.
Surely Mulready. Surely there was. But did he run? I can't even remember if he drew a candidate or, I'm sorry, a challenger.
I have to go back and look. I know we did one with the labor commissioner that year and the AG. And the governor, and maybe lieutenant governor. We did like three or four.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
Anyway, carry on. So anyway, I guess that's...
That's an interesting one, I think.
Is there a Democrat in the race?
The Dem is Craig McIntyre. Again, he is a former educator and an insurance, you know, industry professional. Agent.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, he's the only one, so they'll face him in November.
I feel like it's common to have some legislators in those races because there's a number of legislators, usually real estate, or not real estate, but
within the
insurance agents, industry, right?
Yeah.
If you are someone who's young and you're thinking about running for office someday, but you want another job that provides some flexibility, insurance agent's probably a job because you
can
own your little thing, and then you have a built-in constituency that you've already hopefully, like, you know, given them koozies and like Rand McNally maps and those kinds of
maps. We're definitely showing our age today, sir. What is a map?
Did you not have a road atlas in your car as a kid?
Is that an app? No, I have, honey, I collected atlases. You were talking to, I had a giant National Geographic like wall map, like it was framed, like library size.
Yeah.
No, really, I was that nerd. You're cute though. I know what a map is. The children do not.
Well, children, find a map.
I know, right?
Okay, so let's go on to.
Commissioner.
So
treasurer now?
Yeah, treasurer. So incumbent, I don't know if there's a Democrat, but the action's on the right.
Yeah.
If there is a Democrat, there's probably one and probably not a primary. So the Republican primary race for state treasurer is between incumbent Todd Russ, who is a former state legislator, but also...
Yeah.
He's just not well-liked, and he's been in the news lately for some I guess it's kind of apparently like the looks of corruption.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not sure anything is there. Lots of smoke, whether or not there's fire.
Right.
So I think there are, and then the big challenger is current state auditor Cindy Byrd.
Right.
Who was running for lieutenant lieutenant governor, right. And then the last day of filing, filed for treasurer instead.
Right.
Surprised a lot of people.
Uh-huh. Including Todd Russ.
Including Todd Russ. And comes out the gate already ahead. And part of that is because T.W. Shannon was also running for lieutenant governor.
Right.
Got the endorsement of Trump.
Yeah. Right.
And so that race was basically sealed.
Yeah. I think it was sealed long before that, but yes. And I think that was the nail in the coffin for lots of folks, yeah.
So so CHS Strategies, which is Pat McFerrin's firm, has a poll out that's on their website that says that Cindy Byrd is up by 17 points. 39% for her, 22% for Todd Russ. Of course, most voters have no idea who either of these people are.
Right.
He attributes Byrd's lead largely based on name recognition because she is the state auditor and she has been in the news quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, her office has been connected to some pretty large findings in the last year or so.
Yeah, well, they were looking at, I mean, they're the governor is often calling on her to do some audits, or the AG is asking her to do audits. So that, I think the role of state auditor, I mean, Gary Jones, the previous state auditor, was kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you get to kind of be the bulldog of the state.
Yeah, absolutely.
To go in and root out corruption.
Find the wrongdoing.
Which is a great stepping stone,
I think. Right, for anything, but yes.
And when someone is looking for, like, who do we want in a treasurer? Well, someone whose job previously was to, like, investigate things.
Exactly.
You kind of, I think there's a sense that, like, maybe they get it a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see. I think the big news in this race is not just the favorables versus unfavorables or that kind of stuff, but two things that Cindy Byrd is in the lead and gaining space.
Yeah.
At least over the last, through the end of April, which was the last poll that he had. But also these news stories recently.
That, I think you just lose a lot of those conservative primary voters who are typically those dyed-in-the-wool conservatives, right? They are traditional. They don't like the Michigas. They don't want any of the scandalous stuff. I think they've been turned off quite a bit by the Stitt scandals recently.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Russ being tangentially related and having his name tied up in some scandalousness.
Yeah.
That turns off primary voters in the state.
Well, that's what the ads have been about.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, it's been in the news a lot. I think Paul Money's at Oklahoma Watch was the one doing a lot of this reporting.
Yes, sir.
And then, like, the Oklahoman is, like, promoting this because they can share them, and they've been pushing the stories out. And so if listeners don't know, in brief, I'll be super quick. A few years ago, a law passed to create the Invest in Oklahoma program, which is a program to invest some of our state pension funds into private equity and, like, startups that are Oklahoma-based. We don't have a ton of startups compared to, like, Silicon Valley, but we've got some, and they want to invest in that. So I think there's some, like, I think on some level, you can see this is state-level patriotism. Like, we're investing in our own kind of thing.
Right. Make Oklahoma great again.
Right. The problem is that the Invest in Oklahoma board is five people, governor, lieutenant governor, state treasurer, and then appointees from the speaker and the pro tem.
Right.
And so they have to pick a firm to, like, manage the funds. Mm-hmm. And the board picked this firm that is run by Governor Stitt's former chief of staff, who also made a campaign donation to Todd Russ.
Yes.
And so it's like, oh, well,
and not an insignificant
your friends
one.
And business partners with the governor. He was also business partners with the governor to start this company.
Right.
And there's just a lot of things where it's like, they did an open bid. There were three bids, but this one was the only one that didn't charge a fee up front. Like, the whole structure was just smelled suspicious.
It was sus,
It was sus. It was exactly right. It's a little, it's the meme with the little eyebrows.
Exactly. Exactly. Competitive bidding exists in this state.
Yes. But
I promise you.
And then when they do it, it's like, oh, we had a competitive bid. And it's like, but did you?
But really, though.
So anyway, that is a bad look.
And it is.
And it's just like, these are, I mean, so far the facts are facts. Like, this stuff happened. This isn't, like, rumors. And, like, if you're going to run for statewide office, why would you do that?
Exactly.
I mean, you might think you're not going to get caught, but.
Well, yeah. But that part.
Open records. I mean, all this stuff. It's just wild to me.
Well, you know, people don't crime very smartly.
That's true.
We're
too smart to be criminals.
It's unfortunate. I don't know. I feel like Russ, what has he done as treasurer? Like, what can we point to? I think we mentioned, like, the PSAs for the unclaimed property. Like, he's not really been out as much as, like, a Ken Miller has, or even
that's right.
Is Brogdon who I'm thinking about?
Randy Brogdon?
Not Brogdon. Who was the treasurer before that?
I don't remember.
Anyway, or after...
after Ken Miller?
Yeah, I'm thinking Brogdon, but it's not Brogdon.
I don't remember, but I...
The face.
But I think your point is...
But yes.
I think normally, if the treasurer is doing a good job, you don't hear about him, which is right. why it's a sleepy guess. Race.
Yeah.
Until the treasurer is, like, accepting campaign donations and doing the... The other thing that Todd Russ has been doing is been on this like anti woke investing. What's it called? Like the environment, social justice, whatever, like those funds.
Yeah.
Like trying not to, he's been anti wind,
right.
anti renewables, and like trying to make a point to say like, I'm standing for Oklahoma's industries and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is a political statement,
right.
but maybe not always a good investment strategy.
Not necessarily.
And I mean, they would argue that it's investing in Oklahoma companies, which is true.
Sure.
But your job is to be the steward of our state budget.
Right.
Like
the funding. Yeah.
Pension funds to return the best value with the minimal risk to those people. It's not about making political statements. Mm-hmm. And so I think maybe he tried and it kind of missed the mark.
Yeah.
And then this other thing is just two black eyes.
Yeah. He's just not a great candidate. Let's say that. I think he's always just sort of had an issue relating. I don't know. He's not a very warm politician. I've seen him in person. I've seen him in debates. I don't know. He doesn't give the same sort of warmth that other politicians do. Yeah. I think that eventually sort of... hurt him, even within the party.
It's really hard to know. I mean, because you could be good at a job and not a good politician. That right. often is the case.
Yeah. Absolutely. I don't know.
It's...
Vibes. It's just vibes.
Well, and campaigns are weird, I think.
They are.
Anyway.
It's interesting.
As we said, this is not an endorsement
or... No, certainly not.
...opposition to anybody. Okay, next race then. Let's go up the chain. What else we got? AG? You want to go to AG?
Sure. The debate was on Monday between John Eccles and Starling. The winner will face Democrat Nick Coffey in the general election. So that's already a done deal on the Democrat side. God, the debate was delicious, though.
Yeah. So Non-Doc hosted a debate.
Yep. Non-Doc and News9. And then, of course, they partnered with The Frontier to fact-check it. So the fact-check article came out yesterday. And really, really great stuff. Just good work all the way around, folks. Thank you so much for the work that you do during election season and really all the time to inform the Oklahoma audience. This one was delightful. So, of course, I got there early. I never met Jeff Starling, but I was able to – a friend of mine – a friend of mine introduced me. Apparently she has been friends with the wife of Starling for decades, and so I got to meet him briefly, and then of course John Eccles, who knows me pretty well, gave me a huge hug.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool. Okay, we're not biased here, I swear. But
as we said, candidates want to appear like they know everyone, they're friendly to everybody, and so even someone who's like a marginal acquaintance, it's like, oh my gosh, so good to see you.
And I know,
it's
cute.
You're campaigning. I know what this is. I mean, it's fine, but like, that's, don't hate the player, hate the game.
No, I love it. Right. Look, Dr. Stacey loves those things. He knows me. He knows my children. So we loved that. It was very, the glad handing and all of that. Rigorous support on both sides, right? I love a good debate set up. I got to bring Shanice, our student, and that was her first like in-person debate. So she was gobsmacked right, by the whole situation. And the decorum, right? It was lovely because in the past, certainly Non-Doc, has hosted some contentious AG debates. Mm-hmm. And so at this point, they now roll with security. We make sure that we can, if there are disruptions, we can, remove any disruptors and continue on for the sake of discourse. But there was none of that. It was very
Were the candidates also, did they have good decorum on stage?
They had good decorum on stage. It was chippy. There was no outright name calling necessarily, but John Eccles got punchy. And if you know John Eccles, you can kind of tell whenever he's flustered, right? Because he's he can get kind of red. Mm-hmm. And so that was, it was delightful. Some of the things that were discussed and the accusations. What I really think is interesting is why he does not hit back harder on, you know, him voting for the largest tax hike in Oklahoma history, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Why not just look that man in the face and say, hey, Virginia guy, that was the teacher pay raise and we wanted to end.
Oh, right.
Like, why not just...
Just say what it is? Well,
yeah. That's been gobsmacking to me.
Yeah.
He didn't do it that night either. And so that has been curious to me because that's...
Well, and that is in
would
the,
sell in, for independence.
In the governor's race. That's And maybe they will. It's maybe. Probably because this is close primaries. That's why.
Yeah. I mean, that's because, wild though. I mean, even rural. I mean, Mark McBride cares about, right? Rural education. That teacher pay raise was necessary.
Right.
It was absolutely necessary.
That's right. I mean, that would be so funny. We'll see if the tone changes. Yeah, but I feel like
the
I mean,
shift.
In
the, yeah.
And we'll talk about this in the governor's race too, because there's that new Chip Keating commercial.
Yes.
But it's making the same things. And it's like sometimes the truth is more profound than these like cooked up political statements.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, absolutely. The debate itself was really a great one. What I thought was interesting is neither of them knew what Article 2 of the Oklahoma Constitution was. It's our Bill of Rights.
Uh-huh.
That's problematic, kids. Right? And so, you know, that led to the conversation about religious charter schools and the fact that the Oklahoma Constitution is pretty broad in terms of the protections for, you know, secular or non-secular education. Or public money being used for religious purposes. That's Article 2, Section 5. And it's a pretty broad ban on public use. And so that was one where they both said some pretty false statements about the Blaine Amendment and sort of used that. And that's what the conservative movement has been using, the Blaine Amendment, right, to argue that, no, this was bigoted, right? This decision to keep public funds from religious organizations, religious schools specifically, was actually rooted in discrimination. And so that's not an atypical line of argument for them, but it's also factually not sound.
Whoopsies.
Right.
Whoopsies.
Right. Interesting. Again, a couple of things that I thought was interesting. Eccles having to fight back on marijuana. And I think I sent you a little snippet of their conversation, if you want to use some of that. In the from their conversation, both. I'm sorry, Starling seems very, very keen to repeal medical marijuana, at least from the commentary that he gave, while Eccles was very much, you know, it's the will of the people. And that is something that is, I think, really important to hear right now, since we put how many state questions up for a vote and tried to relitigate and rehash two state questions that have been decided, or two issues that were decided by state questions. So that was something I felt good hearing, right? Something about hearing the will of the people from a prospective attorney general was like, oh,
right.
Okay, refreshing.
Oh, nice.
So he talked about basically the fact that he came in the next legislative session and authored the Unity Bill, which put together the OMMA. I mean, he acknowledged that the legislation was flawed from jump, right? The fact that we didn't have any sort of regulatory institutions built in. Oklahoma. Which, that's why we're called Oklahoma at this point.
Right. I mean, and that's such a funny thing where it's like, well, you know, the people didn't do anything. And it's like, well, no, because this was the last resort was doing the...
Right.
And like your whole job is to create rules and regulations and laws.
No.
And the fact that the legislature did not do it,
no.
They did not follow the will of the people, meant the people had to do it.
Right.
And then now, yeah, you got to come in. That's why we elected you, to pass these laws.
Exactly.
To do the thing.
You're right. So a couple of really interesting exchanges. They had a good exchange on McGirt as well.
Ooh, we'll play that.
It was good.
Go. I'll play it. I'll add it in later.
Oh, fabulous. So yeah, I don't know. I think Starling, I think for me is has a little bit of that veneer like a Todd Russ for me. It doesn't feel Oklahoman. It doesn't, you know what I mean? It doesn't feel down homey. It doesn't mm-hmm. feel the same way that an Eccles feels to me. And I don't know if that's my own personal, because I know him from the cat, right? That
right.
I've dealt with him. I've worked with him. Yeah.
Right.
But it, I don't know, just shaking his hand. And there, again, there's, this is not an endorsement. This is not a, you know, don't or do, but I just, I don't know.
Well, and
I just got a vibe.
I mean, I think a lot about the subject, the issues of like electability.
Yeah, that.
And like, it is hard because I think we all recognize that, you know, people that are more gregarious and mm-hmm. outgoing and yeah. like have charisma. In fact, just the other day, there was an interview with Warren Buffett where he said, mm-hmm. like, the basically, like, the best thing you could do to be successful in your professional career is to be charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough because we're all wired differently.
Yeah.
And I know, like, there are
some of us just have an answer.
Well, it's true. But I there are, but, you know, we both know people who are really great at their
yeah.
jobs.
Yeah.
That might be very thoughtful. And, mm-hmm. and many who are really thoughtful, sure. great legislators. But, you know, just personality being what it is, sometimes you kind of get
introverted.
Yeah. yeah. Which I think is interesting. I mean,
sure.
One example is former state Senator Kay Floyd.
Oh, yeah. That's a good example.
Who
yeah.
I think is very intelligent.
Fabulous, yeah.
Very thoughtful. Mm-hmm. She's a great judge and, like, very mm-hmm. thoughtful in her approach to legislating. Oh, yeah. But she's, at least I've never, like, asked her how mm-hmm. she identifies her own personality, but she seems someone who's more reserved
and yeah.
thoughtful and, you know, like, kind of introverted. Much more likely to see her at home reading a book mm-hmm. than, you know, jumping up on the sidelines yeah. of the Thunder game or whatever. Right. But I think, I mean, it obviously takes all kinds.
It does. It does. And I mean, it's probably me. I'm a puppy dog. I get excited about these things. I want my candidates to be excited about things. And of course, I met him pre-debate. I'm sure he had nerves. Sure. He was walking into the Will Rogers Theater to a bunch of fanfare and all the things.
Right.
And so he was being bombarded by folks. And so I give him the benefit of the doubt on that. I just feel like, you know, being a candidate is difficult, as you said, but there's Lexapro, right? There are things, right, that you have to do, you know, in order to get it up for the people. And I don't know. I just, the vibes.
The vibes,
man.
Do you think did any of these candidates have walk-out music, like walk-on music, or what are the...
No, but Trace did play some CCR Swamp music.
Oh, okay.
He did what you wanted to do, right? He had some theme background. Music. Yeah, to introduce his three rounds of the debate. And the last round was Swamp. I can't remember the title, but he played
from
some.
From Creedence Clearwater yeah. Revival.
Mm-hmm, oh, yeah.
That's nice. Good job, Trace.
Exactly.
Okay. So that race will be, and there is a Democrat in the race.
Coffee.
Oh, yeah, Nick Coffee.
Yep.
Who I haven't met him, but... I've heard from both sides, you know, people who have been mm-hmm. out meeting the candidates, that this race will be obviously contentious in the primary and likely be very competitive in the general
yeah.
as well. So I think there's a lot of scrutiny on the AG's race.
Yeah.
And if, you know, one of the things that might work against Eccles is that he is well known. He was floor
yeah.
majority leader. He was, in many cases, the faces of the Republican caucus in mm-hmm. the House. And with that comes
yeah.
a lot of, what's it to say, baggage in the, like, your name is on
public
everything.
Votes. Yeah.
Lots of public votes, yeah. public debate,
yep.
statements, all that stuff. The all media knows him.
Mm-hmm.
A lot, he's, you know, the candidates know him.
Yeah.
And so in a general election where your message has to moderate some,
yeah.
That could be a liability, right? Because
yeah.
Nick Coffey's coming in as an outsider who doesn't have that political background.
Right.
This is what's funny to me is, you know, everybody wants to run as a political insider, even those who have been in office for
right.
more than a decade.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'm an outsider. It's like,
right.
bro, you've been in the seat for 12 years. You know, like, and so...
The establishment.
Right. I mean, even people like Mark Wayne Mullen, right?
Oh,
Who ran as an outsider, said mm-hmm. he's gonna serve two terms.
Yeah.
And look at him now, he's... Went to the Senate, and now he's Director of Homeland Security. It's
right.
like, okay, well,
I mean, you
just
know,
own it.
Two terms.
You made a career pivot. That's fine.
Right.
The plumber to DHS Secretary, quite the glow up.
Golf clap, sir. Golf clap.
Okay, well, let's talk about the state superintendent's race.
Yes.
So I've got McFerrin's polling on this.
Oh, good.
And I'm just going to read his opening paragraph of the blog post. It says, I have to admit, I've been hesitant to release these numbers because what they tell us is that voters are not yet engaged in this contest. There is simply not a great deal of insight into the state of the race other than that one statement. Not a single candidate is in double digits at this time, and a remarkable 61% of voters say that they are undecided.
Wow.
Which is, given the elevation of this position.
Seriously.
With Ryan Walters.
To attention, yeah.
And, I mean, even Joy Hoffmeister before that, yeah. And, you know, Janet Barisi.
And the audit of Sandy Garrett.
Sandy Garrett.
In
my opinion, the governor and the state superintendent are probably the two names that are
at this point
most likely to be household names.
Yeah.
Maybe the AG, just because it's Gittner Drummond's
been. Well, I mean, yeah, Gittner Drummond specifically. Pruitt, maybe a little bit back in the good old days.
Moment, right.
Yeah.
But those are the ones that tend to be in the news the most.
Yeah.
And education being such a motivating issue. But it is pretty wild. So they he's got a graph on the website that is a little hard to read, but it really is. I mean, everybody is at a chunk. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 candidates.
Yeah, it's a huge pool.
So that's part of the deal, is that with that many candidates, we know it's likely going to go to a runoff in August.
Yeah, it has to.
And so the candidates are John Cox, Adam Pugh, where's the list here? Here it is. Robert Franklin, Tony Hassenbach, Deborah Herlihy, thank you. James Taylor, not the singer. William Crozier. And so in order, I'll just read, like, here's the percentages of their performance in this. But to be clear, like, the overlap is great and the margin of error, everything's like within the margin of error almost.
Okay.
So currently on this poll, John Cox is in the lead at 9%. So when the top polling person has less than 10%, you know it's a wide open field. John Cox at 9%, Adam Pugh at 8%. Robert Franklin and Deborah Herlihy both at 6, James Taylor at 5, Tony Hassenbach at 4, and William Crozier at 1. And I mean, and McFerrin makes the point here, Deborah Herlihy is a name that had virtually no public recognition, name recognition, and she's third, like tied for third. And so to say that it's...
That's wild.
Like he says... One demonstration of how wide open this contest is that Deborah Herlihy, unknown to even the most politically active insiders, meaning like himself,
right,
sits tied for third at 6 and actually leads among women, which is interesting too.
I do
appreciate that there are two women. I guess just Tony Hassenbach and Deborah Herlihy.
Okay. Yeah.
But Tony Hassenbach's been in the state legislature for a number of years. And so that's interesting. There is also a Democrat in that race, and I think an independent or a Libertarian, but it'll be, I think, potentially then it makes that race more competitive in the general as well, because whoever wins the Republican primary runoff, like, won't necessarily carry a ton of support or even name recognition. And I think,
I agree.
I don't know about you, Emily, but I feel like Oklahomans are just, like, so relieved that Ryan Walters is gone. I mean, now Lyndall Fields has been fine.
Palatable. Good. We haven't heard from him.
And just,
we haven't heard from him. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Right. And I think we agree that, like, most people want government to function so well that we never think about it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, the who, what? I don't know. Schools are, all we know right now is that there's a state superintendent and schools are bad. Like, because we are ranked 50th in lots of things.
Check.
But I think we feel like we're not continuing to slide further like we were under Ryan Walters.
I think that's fair.
So people were like, well, I mean, he's gone, so that's good.
Yeah. Or at least not making national news.
And this is why, like, there is very little pressure on Lyndall Fields, where it's like, just don't be scandalous.
Yeah.
Go to meetings.
Yeah.
File your agendas on time.
Period.
Don't watch porn in the office.
All of those things. Allegedly. Or Jackie Chan movies.
Jackie Chan's.
According to Trace, Jackie Chan movies.
That's what I meant. Anyway, that should be fine.
It'll be fine. I totally agree with you. I wonder if Oklahomans have had enough of the pseudo sort of education policy of the Barisi, of the Walters, that they may feel like it's time to go back. I mean, Sandy Garrett was a Democrat, you know, state superintendent for my entire public school experience. I mean, she had been the public education czar literally for 20 some odd years as a Democrat, and the state, I mean, through different ideological changes within the state, even she remained in her position. And so I wonder if at this point, rural Oklahoma, who tend to be more conservative socially, but their schools are the hubs of their community, I wonder if they're in a different position and are willing to vote differently this time around.
Yeah.
They really missed an opportunity with April Ryan. They should have elected April Ryan. I don't understand. An educated, doctored female Republican, why did you not elect April Ryan?
Well, Emily, gonna just say. You may know that.
Just saying. I know she's a woman.
Was she underbabied?
She, I don't know that, sir. Perhaps. I know that she was over-femaled.
The political discourse is just the sound of a toilet flushing.
Sometimes.
Okay. Let's talk about, I don't think we need to talk about the lieutenant governor's race, really.
No, T.W. Shannon's going to win that race. I don't think there's going to be a runoff.
I love a race that is so certain that it means there might be room for an upset. Just because it's like,
That's
I
assume true.
That's the case. But sometimes then people are sleeping on it, and that's you just true. Never know.
I see T.W. Shannon as the second coming of J.C. Watts in the state. And so I'm prepared to be gobsmacked and surprised, but I'm willing to hold my breath on this one. I think he wins handily.
I think I'm already thinking it interesting if he does.
Yeah.
Then regardless of who governor is, right? Like the joke is the job of lieutenant governor is to run for governor.
Right.
And you spend 8 years campaigning and like celebrating
you see that?
Tourism. And I can see him doing that. Yeah. Like I think T.W. Shannon is a great campaigner.
Yeah.
But the last two lieutenant governors, Matt Pinnell currently and Todd Lamb before that, did not fare well.
Successfully.
Well, I mean, I guess
Lamb, Pinnell didn't,
I mean, Pinnell didn't run.
Right.
So, but I don't think he would have.
I don't think so either.
He probably went in hoping he'd have a path to it, but here we are 8 years later and an open seat is an open seat.
Yeah.
And he's been a pretty solid lieutenant governor.
And like five other things.
Right.
That dude got just inundated by the governor, I think. And,
yeah, I mean,
and I think that.
Yeah, but he did a great job with tourism.
He did great.
This Route 66 thing has been all that stuff.
The marketing is good.
And he hasn't had to, he hasn't had a campaign in a while, so he hasn't had, but even when he ran for re-election 4 years ago, it was a pretty benign campaign. Yeah. And so I just think, okay, well, what is that still a stepping stone is my question. Or because I think the AG race has become the new stepping stone.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see. Maybe in 4 years or 8 years, the state auditor's race will become a stepping stone. Well, and let's talk about the governor's race as our last one. This is a good culmination.
It's delicious.
It's
wild. Nom.
And we don't have any super recent polling. The most recent polls that I have seen that I think we have, and I'm looking at the New York Times like polling tracker. The most recent polling is from February. It's really from the end of January.
Yeah.
And it was, again, McFerrin's polling that had Drummond in the lead. And we talked about this before, that it seemed like it was a race for second between McCall and Keating and maybe Mazzie. And now my hunch is, and I mean, the scuttlebutt is, it's a much more even race.
Yeah.
I think
That's what we are.
I expect we'll have new polling come out the next couple of weeks.
I would assume so.
Probably
next week, end of next week.
First week, like a week ahead of time. Especially if they're trying to, we'll probably see several polls.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people don't make up their mind until just a few, you know, days or weeks before an election. What we do have in lieu of polling, and this is a.
We're hedging.
This is a. I don't know how to. I have feelings about this.
I know. Me too.
But we have prediction markets, so-called prediction markets. Legalized betting is essentially what it is.
It's the hive mind.
Offshore. Is it the hive mind or is it just political insiders and other people trying to blow some money?
I mean, those are the same people who are likely blowing their money on the campaigns and buying votes.
Very possible. But did you see the report a couple of weeks ago that on Kalshi, that 67% of all the money that's been won on Kalshi has been won by like 0.01% of the users.
Yeah.
It's like just a handful of users have won almost all the money.
Yeah.
And some of that's because there's been some really big jackpots. Yeah, like I think skew the curve, but there's been some prosecutions or at least charges for essentially insider trading.
Yeah.
For like members of the military that were betting the
Maduro. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, well, that to say, and I think it's interesting to watch Twitter to see which consultants will post about like, hey, this, here's what the Polymarket rates are. And it's like, well, did you just put money on this and you're trying to drive it up or down or something?
Yeah, right.
Anyway, right now on Polymarket, do you have Kalshi pulled up? I'll do Polymarket while you get Kalshi pulled up. Right. These are the two main platforms, if you're not aware, listeners. Polymarket, which operates outside the U.S. Or inside the U.S. if you use a, what's it called? Like a little...
VPN.
VPN, yep. I was like, secret tunnel? What's it called?
Yeah, VPN. Secret tunnel, yes.
Virtual private network.
Yes, Grandpa.
Gittner Drummond on here is at 50%, although it was 52 just a second ago when I first pulled it up, so it's changing in real time. 50% Gittner Drummond, 22.8 Chip Keating, 11 for McCall, and 7 for Mike Mazzei.
Mm-hmm.
So Drummond, Keating, McCall, and Mazzei is the ranking here. And then below that is Jake Merrick, Lisa Haynes, Matt Pinnell, Ryan Walters, who aren't even running.
Right.
Some people lost money on that. What do you have on Kalshi over there?
So Gittner Drummond at 47%, Keating at 31%, and then McCall at 9%, and then everybody else is not.
That's interesting. There. So similar, but a few points different.
Yeah. I am interested. And again, I think I mentioned to you I had lunch with a Republican old insider, political insider, who really gobsmacked me the other day by noting that within his circle, they're really talking about, it being a, Keating Drummond, or perhaps even a Keating, Keating Mazzei.
In the runoff.
Yeah.
So they're feeling, I don't know how much I trust insiders anymore because
it's fair.
It's a lot of guys having breakfast at a diner shooting the shit.
Sure. But whenever these guys are,
Also, it's just armchair quarterbacking, right? It's no different than being like, I think the Thunder are going to win in six. And we're just, and we're just making predictions. Because then when you're right, you're like, I told you. I saw this coming. I called it back that day,
Jimmy said. Right? That's great.
But I do, so I saw a commercial yesterday. I was helping my mother-in-law with her TV.
Yeah.
And was like, checking inputs and happened to be on like, local news or one of the local affiliates, network stations. And I just had it on for probably 3 minutes and happened to see a Chip Keating commercial that was attacking both Mike Mazzei and McCall and calling them both too liberal for Oklahoma.
Delicious.
I'm
telling you.
That's hilarious.
Is it not? In what world?
In what? Emily, this is an honest question. Do you think Republicans believe that message?
No.
Then I don't either.
Not after the banana commercial.
Right.
Not after the banana commercial.
I mean, we Mazzei has a new ad out with his wife on there, right?
Yes.
And talk about Jesus and the whole
Yes, and the triplets and
right. All three of these guys are running to be as conservative as possible.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, and Drummond is too.
Sure.
To an extent, but he's taking more of like a law and order approach.
The bucking Broncos and have you seen the Suns? So he's not brought in the wife. He brought in the Suns and doing the cowboy way and all the hard work and the
he's projecting masculinity.
Yes. Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
He's the rootin' tootin' cowboy coming up on the plains and all that stuff, which I think Drummond pulls off more.
It's on brand.
More believably than like McCall does with his tractor commercials and stuff. Because McCall's a banker. I think he should lean into the banking stuff.
If he were smart, affordability would be something that would
win over
some folks.
And that's the other thing is that all of these candidates have dumped a lot of their own money into these races. Yeah. They fund self-funded cases.
Maisie and McCall specifically.
I mean, ways, yeah, in ways that like Cindy Munson can't. Because,
absolutely not, yeah.
And then it's like, well, do we really want, do we want our elected officials to just, do we want only wealthy people to be able to run
exactly,
for office?
Self-funded, yeah. Wealthy human beings.
That's a whole separate question.
It's a whole problem.
But I so this commercial just struck me as so odd that we have seen McCall's banana ad.
Yep.
And he's got a tractor ad. I guess I've seen a lot of McCall stuff. A tractor ad, and the hamburger ad.
The hamburger ad. Yeah.
And then
that's a good one.
And then I've seen Mazzy's one, Mazzy's about with his wife. The wife. And I think they had one other one.
Yeah, he's got a couple. The introductory one with the Trump picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, just maybe just the two.
Introducing.
Yeah.
And then, but this one was a Chip Keating ad paid for by Chip Keating for governor.
Okay.
Like, it's his campaign paper. Okay. It's not even an opposition campaign. Mm. But this tells me that Keating views those two guys as his primary opposition right now.
Yeah. He's running for number two.
Right.
So he's smart.
Right.
He's not going to waste his money on Gettner Drummond because that's... the polling at this point and the stream of funding, he knows better. So,
and I'm sure that Keating has internal polling that is guiding
absolutely.
These decisions.
Dad has poll.
Yeah.
I'm sure he has much better polling than the other three.
Right. And so that's my read is that, their internal say, this is who you got to go after and you've got a shot at being number two.
Yep.
And then I think fundamentally looking at the general... No, well, looking at the runoff, a Drummond-Keating runoff is very different than what most of us have been expecting.
Which
is a Drummond-McCall or a Drummond-Mazzy. And I think that's more competitive than in the runoff, which makes August more important.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Emily, I think about all these state questions that are the ones that are on the ballot and the talk about they were trying to refer some others on there. And we knew from when sessions started that they were filing all of these joint resolutions to put them on the ballot to drive turnout. And it's I still haven't been certain which way, like who was in charge and who was trying to drive who, where.
Yeah.
And it's like, were you trying to, these are normally very conservative audiences. Mm-hmm. Were you trying to moderate that? Or were you trying to conservatize that?
Our legislator would be trying to maximize the conservative vote.
I mean, that would benefit three of those. And that would probably benefit the most conservative candidate, which is arguably not Drummond. I mean, they're all trying to run to that way, but it's just wild. That was wild. I don't remember the last time I saw a candidate's campaign pay an ad to attack two different people with the same message and just like painted them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so silly to me.
Yeah.
I really thought, cause I thought the same thing. I was like, well, who is at home going, hold on.
Right.
You're telling me that these guys are liberals?
Right.
I had no idea. And they just...
It's just ridiculous.
And so if it is ridiculous and like, and if that's what he thinks he's doing, I wondered if this is the right... Like it was...
Yeah.
Because like he might have just spent a bunch of money to not move the needle at all.
Right. Or move it away from him. It's disingenuous in a way, right?
Well, yeah, it makes it look like you're out of touch or just
that.
Like you're just playing politics.
That, yeah. I agree with you. The out of touch, I think, is most important. And we've said it before, McCall and Mazzy are the two that are pulling from each other, right? Political funding, in terms of ideology, in terms of legislative experience, like they are almost identical in terms of the primary. And so it's not a bad idea for Keating to have put a target on both of them, but is it the right target? I don't think so, right?
Yeah.
McCall is not wearing an Obama button. You know, Mazzy is not making out with Hillary Clinton under, you know, the tunnel of love.
Right.
And so the AI-ness of it all, which special session looms.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe we'll end on that because I saw that ad.
My
too.
ASMR of special session.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're going to lean in real close, folks. The computers are after us and our votes. So this was the – whose ad was it? Mike?
Was it Mazzy's
ad?
Yeah, Mazzy is accusing Drummond of using artificial intelligence.
Right.
Yeah.
So there is an ad out that is paid for by a C4 dark money group.
Yeah.
I think it's like Make Oklahoma Great Again or
something
one
like
of those.
That, yeah.
and the disclosures aren't on the screen very long with the little narrow text.
Teeny tiny.
Anyway, that so there's an ad out that uses that is AI-ified, and it is a representation of Mike Massey,
right.
Like canoodling with Hillary Clinton. Literally. Like they're hugging.
Yeah.
And like, and it's like it's so obviously so cringy. Now it is a good enough like deep fake or yeah. whatever to look like him.
Sure.
And he was upset. And we know that Governor Stitt and AG Drummond don't get along, and so the governor was threatening to call a special session just for this issue. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this in a meeting the other day, and someone pointed out that this kind of stuff has been happening. Like there have been ads.
Absolutely.
I think Melissa Provenzano was on the receiving end of some of these AI ads up in Tulsa at her last reelection campaign. Maybe this one, I don't know. But it's like, this is not a new thing.
No.
And like, oh, all of a sudden, because it happened to the enemy of your enemy, exactly. You want to get involved?
Right. Yeah, it's convenient that we're now upset. And then, of course, the call comes from within the House, because then, of course, Massey gets accused of doing the same thing, because, again, he makes an ad where McCall is wearing an Obama button, which obviously is not something that has occurred. I love that ad, too, right? He was a liberal until he was 40, well into Obama's, you know, second term. McCall was a Democrat.
Right. That's
when was this?
Well, and is that the ad? There was something I read or saw that said alleged that McCall ran as the progressive choice.
Like, yeah, is that tagline? That's the same ad. Yeah,
I don't
where when
right. The person that told me was like, unless I've been duped, and I was like, I think we're all this is the
this
risk.
This is it. Yeah,
and I don't disagree with the governor on this. Of like, this it just feels wrong.
Right.
And the guy that ran these ads for against Massey, mm-hmm. well, it was for anybody, but against Massey,
right.
did a news interview, which I thought was hilarious, that he even talked to the media. Normally they don't. Right? And I was like, oh, this guy.
I'm going to have to look this up.
And he was like, I think it was on KFOR, and he was just like, yeah, I did it. And he's like, this is no different than cutting pictures out and animating them on a screen.
Exactly.
And I was like, oh, well, he kind of has a point.
He absolutely has a point. We've been doing this for eons.
Right. And you know what's the hard...
It's just about available technology. What can you use? Is it the printing press? Is it a fax machine?
Right.
Is it AI now?
Right. Did you sew an effigy of your opponent and hang it from a tree? Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. And so I think the outrage is misplaced just a little bit, or displaced. We want to get our hair on fire about new technologies being used against us, but you want to use them against your opponent. Right.
Right.
I'm...
It's what's funny to me is that, you know, no one likes this. And
right.
Candidates don't like it. Voters don't like it. Everyone hates.
I mean, and we legislate against things like pornography, right? AI porn and deepfake pornography, things like that. I wondered whenever it would get to the political realm. Of course, it always takes forever, right, for us to try to regulate what we think of as a realm of free speech.
Right.
But yeah, it's cringy.
I do. This is not a topic for today because now we're going to go off the deep end. But the issue of AI pornography, I know the deepfake thing is like targets. So like I would be horrified if my face was on a AI generated whatever, no matter how buff I might look in the AI image. But I think that kind of stuff is like creepy.
Yeah.
But the creation of like fictitious AI pornography. Then I was like, oh, this seems like the industry that might be most disrupted by AI, because like suddenly the adult film industry could be supplanted by AI created stuff, which is like already we've seen all these AI generated influencers that are creating their own little personalities.
And it's actress, whatever her name is.
Oh, right. People are like,
it's not Pippi, it's Tilly or something. But yeah. Anyway, sorry, Poppy. I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
Pop culture.
That's a beverage. Yep.
Anyway, it is.
And so I just think that's, we are... I think the pace of stuff has sped up, and we are not able to keep... We weren't able to keep up with it 10 years ago, and we definitely aren't now.
No, and whenever we try to sort of regress our thinking and become Luddites, right, we're, oh my God, this new technology, oh my God, fire, you know, how is it going to, you know, harm me, displace me, whatever, I don't know,
Do you know, in history, this is a weird, let's end on this because
he said, we are going to end
my
this
brain.
Eventually.
I'm about to
Yes.
Our listeners are going to be like, what is wrong with him? I've been doing a lot of reading and like research stuff on like history things, sure, about religion and civilizations, yeah, and whatever recently. I don't know. Looking for meaning or trying to figure out what's going to happen next. I don't, sure, know. All I know is that plenty of times in history, pretty well established civilizations, mm-hmm, have like crumbled, sometimes for mysterious reasons. And many of those had made breakthroughs, like, yeah, scientific, like language, mm-hmm, mathematics, physics, hundreds or thousands of years before they became well adopted.
Okay.
And so like the Mayan culture had a whole like mathematical, they had developed, mm-hmm, what's linear B mathematics. And then for an unknown reason, still like their whole kind of society, yeah, collapsed and went away. And that type of mathematics wasn't discovered for like 2000 mm-hmm, more years. Well, it's like, well, imagine if things hadn't, right, collapsed, we could have done this stuff. Steam engines were invented. Mm-hmm. I mean, back when like Da Vinci was,
right,
you know, like he was a fantastic inventor on stuff. And there was all these things. And now I'm like, what if we're like doing something right now and we just don't know that it's all going to collapse on us. And then it'll all be lost forever. Right. And then like in 2000 years, they'll come back and be like, do you know those people in the early 2000s had invented artificial intelligence? They just didn't know it.
Exactly. Where's my Jetsons car?
Right.
Dear listener.
Right.
If we had just, right.
Meet George Jetson.
That's my favorite.
Okay. Well, that's a weird note to end on.
It's a note.
Emily, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for doing this weird podcast with me.
I mean, it's a good time. I think we have fun.
I think so. I agree. Listeners, thanks for being here as well.
Indeed.
Next week, though, we'll get back on our horse.
Yes.
And actually talk about the business of government and talk with Sean Ashley about...
Spursy Rilsies.
Yes, what happened at the legislative session. And then moving forward, we're going to have some other kind of special guests that are like following up on the session. So we're going to talk about budget and tax policy, talk about some kind of policy issues, because these are the issues that will be, or at least should be, discussed by candidates, exactly, on the campaign trail. So I think this is an important season of learning and of reflection for all of us as a state and of voting.
Yes.
Reminder, June 16th, primary election. Everybody gets to vote. Yep. You got to show up. Vote ballots are available now. You can, mm-hmm, go to the State Election Board website and view your sample ballots. You can print them off. You can fill them out at home. You can have all your friends over. You can all pull up your ballots on your phones and discuss who you're going to vote for, mm-hmm, pros and cons, whatever you want to do.
Love it.
What do we say every week? Decisions are made by those who show up.
Yeah.
All right.